With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. We have Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu. Speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors beat the Milwaukee Bucks for a statement win by a score of 110-96. And listen, I know I've been saying no slander pod until the Raptors are above 500. I mean, but come on. My mentions are like absolutely destroyed because people demand the product. And honestly, I'm happy to give it because this game was deserving of that. This was, let's bring in the slander expert aside. To assess, but what do you think this was? Was this the game 3 win? Was it the game 4 win against the Bucks? Game 5 or game 6? Which one was this? This felt like a game 4 win.
No, man. This was clearly the game 7 win because it's the fifth loss in a row, right? For the Bucks. But just to be clear, people saying we've said we wouldn't do a slander pod until we're over 500. Just to look at the definition of slander, it's an action or crime of making a false spoken statement. Nothing we're saying is going to be false, so it's all good. Yo, this Bucks team is ass.
They're terrible. I don't know what's going on with them, but they're ass. You're absolutely right.
Like, man, there is so much to break down with what they do. Like, yo, shout out to Bud. He started making adjustments.
Unbelievable, man.
His choice of adjustments, though, are just, like, hilarious. Where do you start? Do you start with Giannis looking like, what did you call him again? Or Julius Randle?
Yeah, you know, I was watching the game and I was like, this guy's starting to look like a Jalof Julius Randle to me. But then I thought about Julius Randle and he's honestly been pretty good this year, so I can't even go there.
Well, Kendrick Perkins already said it, right? Pascal Siakam's got more skills than Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Bro, but that's true. This is true. Thank you, Perkins. I can't believe we got to stand Kendrick Perkins, but that's what we'll do. No, but it's true, though. Like, yo, I know people clown Pascal about the spin move. Does Giannis have any move other than the Osmo step? That's what I'm calling it from now on. It's not a Euro step. It's not a hero step. He's traveling. He's picking up the ball, and he's just running 3 straight steps to the basket with his elbows up. That's an Osmo step.
Giannis saw that one highlight of Westbrook taking it the full court and dunking it and decided that's going to be his entire arsenal. He's like, I'm practicing this every play.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Russell Eastbrook out here, bro.
No, but he's really holy crap. No, but seriously though, I don't understand. Like, I, as a basketball fan, not even like as a Raptor fan or anything else, just as a basketball fan, like it's disappointing that this is what Giannis is. Like, I know like he's a 2-time MVP, so that sounds ridiculous, but like his numbers are always gonna be great. The system around him is gonna allow him to win a lot of games. I mean, they get to play like the Cavs and Pistons like over and over and over again, but like he's just kind of disappointing, man.
The last time I've seen, you know, a super talented big man on both ends of the floor, defensive player of the year candidate, struggle this much was also when Jrue Holiday was injured on the Pelicans. So, like, this is the same team. Like, how is this not the Pelicans team? They don't do anything. Like, they're just jacking up threes. If the threes go in, they win. If they don't hit the threes, they lose. What is this roster? Chris Middleton can't handle a double team. The man sees a double team and just goes, get rid of the ball. Yo, their offensive options. You said it. It's like they've got Giannis go 1v5 or Chris Middleton turnover. That's it. What is this offense?
And no, this is not even the slander portion. Trust me, we will get to that. Although I did call him a Jalof Julius Randle, which is already flagrant. All right. This is really just the analysis. Like, I'm sure if you listen to Bucks fans, they'd be tearing their hair out over the same thing, which is just like, look at your two leading guys, Middleton, 6 turnovers, Giannis, 5 turnovers. And all the Raptors really did was double team them, which, by the way, if you're Mike Boonholzer, you can't be surprised. A, because the Raptors literally just played you and did the same thing to you 2 nights ago. And also, they've been doing this to you for 3 straight years, man. Like, figure this out. Like,
yo, even DeMar figured out how to handle a double team after like a year and a half.
Exactly.
Like, bro, Chris Middleton, it's been 4 years, my guy.
No, this guy, honestly, like, if you just lightly pressure this guy, he will turn the ball over. It's unbelievable, man. This guy's like, honestly, he's like, And he's, he's like a fried egg, man. If you flip him the wrong way, like, this guy is spilling everywhere, man. This guy's, it's embarrassing. It really is.
For and he's an all-star this supposed, year. And he's supposed to be like, hey, yo, he gives you a 50-40-90, and he's like a top-tier elite wing stopper defender.
Oh, where did he get
every
this?
Single Raptor ran through him. Fred VanVleet ran through him. Norman Powell ripped him a new one. Norman Powell makes him look like normal Powell, bro, because he's just pathetic. Like, he's just destroying Chris Middleton, man. He doesn't do anything. The OG sees Chris Middleton, says, ISO, bro, I got this. Ooh. Runs right through him four plays in a row.
Listen, you know, we love OG. We would never slander OG, never. But if OG is looking at you and saying, yo, this is barbecue chicken, right? I mean, come on, man. Come on. And honestly, you're absolutely right. Every single guy switched on to Chris Middleton and tried to attack him. Pascal, Fred, Norm, obviously. Like, the amount of times Norm just pulled up on Chris Middleton in the first half. Like, Norm's not even that good on the pull-up jumper, but he saw it was Chris Middleton. He's like, I got nothing to worry about. Which, by the way, there was a play in the first quarter where the Raptors turned it over, but then Middleton turned it right back over. And then Norman Powell had two choices. He was on the perimeter. He had Aaron Baines wide open on the rim for a dunk. And as much as, you know, you could say Aaron Baines might not be trusted to make that shot, whatever. Honestly, Aaron Baines was pretty good the last two games. He saw Aaron Baines wide open for a dunk. But then he also saw that he was being guarded by Chris Middleton and that Chris Middleton was playing him to drive. And Norm was just like, yo, I'll pull up again from three. I'll do it again. And, bro.
Oh, my God. Just, I couldn't believe it. Also, the Bucks defense. Like, okay. Whoa. So the Bucks were getting destroyed last year because they just would refuse to switch. Mm-hmm. So they were just kind of, they're like, we're just going to play aggressive on the pick and roll. We're going to tail you and it'll work out, right? We're going to wall off the paint. This year, they're like, oh, we're going to do switching. But they're just switching. For no reason. Garbage there was switches. There was one play in the fourth quarter. Pascal has the ball in the wing. Chris Middleton's on him. Norm Powell just walks by. Doesn't even set a screen. And they just freely switch to Pat Connaughton. Pascal passes the ball to Fred. Walks by Fred. They switch Bryn Forbes onto Pascal. For no reason. There wasn't a screen. Yep. There wasn't any resistance. It was literally just like, yo, we're switching. Like, and this is at like, literally, this was like 7 seconds of play. It wasn't even like it was fast. These guys are like strolling. And then they just ran a Pascal ISO on Bryn Forbes. Like, just free points. Like, I don't understand the offense. Brook Lopez just freely switching onto Fred VanVleet whenever he can, man. And just getting shredded. It was just... Yo, I don't understand what their defense does. It just looks weak all the time. What is their defense supposed to stop you? Is their offense supposed to score on you? I don't understand what anything does or works. And apparently, Bud after the game said that they looked better this game. Which, like, how could you possibly look better? No. You couldn't possibly look better than the game before, man. And that's just, jeez, man.
Oh my God. Honestly, Mike Budenholzer's eyes are out like a cartoon character, but he still can't see clearly what's going on in the game. Because, you know, straight up, like, I agree with you. The paint defense, I think, probably works better for them. I mean, especially in this game, no Kyle Lowry. You replace him with DeAndre Bembry in the starting five. That's a lot less shooting on the floor. It makes more sense to protect the paint. But I think the Bucks were just, I don't know, they just kind of blinked, right? Like, that's what you usually consider from Coach Budenholzer is like, yo, no matter what's happening, we're going to stick with the same scheme. And the Raptors in the first half, of course, they attack Brook Lopez because he drops, but like they were just running pick and pops, pick and roll, and guys were getting to the mid-range and they were scoring. And it was like the Bucks decided, you know what? All of a sudden, we're not okay with mid-range shots anymore, so we'll switch everything. And then, I don't know, man. When they switch, it's not that good, I feel like, because A, you can't put Brook Lopez on the floor when he switches because literally he's too slow to guard anybody outside of just standing at the basket with his hands up. Then, you know, even with the switches, like a lot of their perimeter guys are pretty weak. Like Bryn Forbes is an obvious target to attack. DJ Augustine is an obvious target to attack. Obviously, no Drew Holiday, you know, makes them a little more susceptible defensively. But
how much can Drew Holiday fix? He can't guard all three wing positions.
That's what I'm saying. You can't make up for the fact that Chris Middleton is allergic to contact on both ends. Where did this guy get a defensive reputation? Like, what does he do defensively just let people go by him? Like, I don't know what defensive player that gets specifically targeted. Oh, what I do, Giannis was defensive player of the year, and Fred VanVleet took him to the cup for a layup.
That's two games in a row, Fred, just ISO'd on Giannis. He's like, all right, this one, I'm going to hit a fadeaway on you. Second game, I'm just taking you to the cup, left hand.
That was sick, man. That was sick.
Honestly. Oh, my God.
Fred's, you know what? That's the thing with Fred. I think, you know, one of those things that's underrated, and maybe this is just like, you know, spooky sports psychology. I don't really want to get like Bill Simmons podcast up in here, but like, sometimes when you're the best guy, and Fred is the best guy for the Raptors, especially with Kyle out, when you're the leader of the team, sometimes you just got to take an opportunity as the other team's leader and you just beat them. And I think that has a psychological effect. I really do think that that gives your team confidence when you, your best player beats their best player on both ends. And that's what Fred did. Like, Fred took Giannis. He saw it was Giannis. He saw he got switched on Giannis, and Fred was like, yeah, all right, I'm keeping the ball. And everyone is probably like, yo, what are you doing? But I mean, Fred hits him with the quick crossover, gets the separation.
That was like their entire offense for like the third and fourth quarter, like late third quarter, mid, most of the fourth quarter, because it's like guys were tired. They were trying to save Norm's minutes because of foul trouble. They were trying to save Siakam's minutes, whatever it might be. So they were throwing some like pretty junk lineups out there, like just junking it up to save time. And it was just breaking down into, okay, Fred, just get a friendly switch and pull up for three and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And then Fred gets Giannis on one, just takes him to the hoop.
That's just unbelievable.
Hilarious. And the best part is, while all of that's happening, on the other end, Coach Bud is like, you know who's, what time it is? It's time for another Antetokounmpo.
Yo, no, listen. We don't even need to slander the Bucks. The Bucks slander themselves by playing Thanasis. Listen, I think it's a great story. It's super cute that Giannis is bringing his brother along. You know, like, I feel this kinship too with my brother. But at the same time, Thanasis is not... This is not an NBA player, man. Come on, what are we doing? Like, bro, yo, this would be like
great if energy, though,
bro. This great would be energy. Like if Kawhi made Jeremy Castleberry come off the bench. Like, this is not, yo, we can't have that, man. Did you see
Pascal ISOing in the post against Thanasis, and then boom, he just blew the tires off of him. Yeah. Like, he was just standing there watching Pascal get the layup for free, just absolute ease.
Like, it was frozen. Now, granted, Pascal did score on both brothers. Okay, he got the N1 on Giannis for Giannis' fifth foul. But at least Giannis was there to guard. Bro, Thanasis was literally frozen. Like he was frozen there as Pascal drove all the way past him. And there was another play where he tried to shoot a jumper. Like, he shot 6 times in 8 minutes. Like, what are you doing? Right? Yo. And I understand it from the Bucks' perspective. They're like, look, we're going to go small. We got to take Brook Lopez off the floor. But that doesn't mean you put in Thanasis. Like, what are you doing? This guy should be in the Bruno role.
Talking about bad jumpers, my favorite part of every Bucks game, both the Bucks game, is when they get frustrated in the fourth quarter and Giannis decides, I have to score by myself. And he takes a fadeaway baseline jumper and just gets the front rim back and completely breaks it. And it's like, my guy. But my favorite part, I think you said it, was Giannis at the free throw line is just like he'll make you wait 20 seconds. Mm. And then just bang, brick. Like, it's just, what are you waiting for? Just shoot the brick. Just miss the shot and keep it moving. Like, why are we all waiting here? It's not like you have to get rest. You're only playing 32 minutes tonight.
Yeah, listen, I actually got so annoyed by it, I pulled out a stopwatch and timed it. So the NBA regulation rule is that you get 10 seconds after the ball is given to you from the referee to shoot the free throw. Giannis averages 12 seconds on the free throw attempt. So first off, those should be invalidated, period. But second of all, it doesn't matter because he'll just miss them. But I think it's the way TNT mics up the arena. Like, they put a microphone like right at the basket somehow. So the bricks just sound so hard. But I don't know, man. The Bucks just look tough. And like, they don't really have great plays. Like, other than just give the ball to Giannis and charge. And
their best play was the first play of the night where they got a back cut off of like a miscommunication and Dante got a layup for free. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then after that, the game was over because the Raptors just, I think the Raptors, once they got the lead in the first quarter, did they end up giving it up again?
No.
That was there, right?
The Bucks came as close as like 9 points. That's it. Like, it, well, the Raptors just led by some variation of somewhere between 20 to 10 points. And, yeah, I mean, this is – what a great game, honestly, because you had Fred and Norm were cooking early. I thought Pascal – like, what, now that Pascal's being used as a pick-and-roll man, it's really, like, making life so much easier for him because now that he is the guy who's getting guard – he's the five because he's getting guarded by Brook Lopez. So he's screening for the ball. They're trying to attack Brook, and he's just getting all this wide-open space. Mid-range jumper, wide open. He doesn't need to take 15 dribbles to get to a mid-range jumper anymore. He could just screen and literally pop to the mid-range. Screen and pop to the three-point line, get an open look. Screen, get to the mid-range area, you know, a pocket pass, a little short floater, and make that. Like, Pascal just, he looks much more, he just looks much more comfortable.
And the biggest benefit for Pascal, because, like, the thing that was really hindering him probably since the shutdown last season was his handle just kind of deteriorated. It's gotten a lot better. He is looking a lot more like himself, But he has trouble when you crowd his space. And the biggest problem was when Baines is out there, his defender's just parked in the paint. So even when he, as soon as he gets to like 18 feet, the free throw line, he's getting dribble checked because he's got this help defender. He's got a shadow double, whatever it might be. But now when you have five guys, when you go small ball, especially like small ball, even without Chris, when you go with just the ball handlers, like when you have OG, Fred, Kyle, Norm out there, then there's nothing inside. It's just 1v1, and Pascal's beating this guy 1v1. Pascal, one-on-one, I don't think is guardable in this league outside by like a handful of guys who can handle him because you need to send help. And if you send help Pascal's way, you end up with five assists tonight. You shot 50% from everywhere on the floor, perfect from the free throw line with 7-7, and then 27, 6-5 on the night. Just like all around, just everywhere.
Yeah, perfect. And he got the and one on Giannis at the end. I thought Pascal played amazing. Defensively, I think he's also done a really good job. Like, he's really good at just playing the gaps. So if he is the help defender, helping in the basket, the fact that you can just now switch everything is great. Because when you had Baines out there in the starting five, you can't switch that, right? Like, a lot of times people are going to isolate against Baines is a real issue. So the Raptors were having to rotate more, scramble more. I think a little bit more switching, especially against the Bucks, just cut them off from getting to the basket. It also seems like Giannis just... I don't know, man. If we want to talk about shaky handles, like Giannis, really, his handle doesn't let him go anywhere, bro. That,
bro, as long as he gets to like punch people off the ball, like his handle's fine. Like he's just gotta like give a hard elbow, and he's got enough room to dribble. Like,
yeah, no, honestly, the most skill Giannis showed tonight in terms of offense was when he elbowed OG in the face. Which, by the way, so he elbowed OG in the head, which earned him a sixth foul, and he got a flagrant foul on top of that. But you know. Even after he elbowed OG and he was wide open, he still airballed the hook shot from like 3 feet. Like, at least respect the game by making the layup after you pop a guy in the head. Like, what are we doing here, man? You could have just
missed
without fouling, man.
The one thing I noticed in both the games is that Giannis hasn't been I don't know what it is about his attacks. Maybe he's just getting – because, like, the Raptors aren't really slowing him down with the same size they were in prior years. But even when he gets free, he hasn't been dunking the ball. He's been opting for a lot of layups. I don't know if that's just strategy to conserve health or if he's just not getting – he's using up a lot more energy to get downhill. But that's been something I've noticed. Also, I just wanted to talk about on top of Pascal's defense being great, one of the things that really helps Pascal is when OG's back. Because when OG's back, it gives him that second big to handle all the help coverages.
Right,
and it also takes Pascal off the heavy on the other team, right? So instead of having to waste his legs, like, holding these dudes that are heavier than him, OG takes that. OG takes the legs hit, obviously. He went 0 for 6 tonight from 3. Probably, I'm assuming it's just conditioning because he was on fire the night before.
Or rhythm, too.
Rhythm as well.
Yeah.
But when OG can take those heavy guys off and Pascal can become more of a help defender and kind of a cover all, he becomes like just unreal because he just shuts everything down. He's got great length. Like, I think the one block he had on Giannis late in the game, where Giannis kind of like barreled through OG and then went up for the layup and Pascal just tapped him two hands from behind, took the ball back. Like, that's all you really need, right? Once you have like those two down low, it's pretty ridiculous what the Raptors can accomplish.
Yeah. And listen, I feel like the Bucks could use Giannis in different ways to make him more effective, like use him as a screener or stuff like that, but they don't have a playmaker out there, right? Like, their point guard tonight was Bryn Forbes, who, I mean, you know, that's like starting Matt Thomas at point guard. It really is. Dante DiVincenzo, who's supposed to be a point guard, handles the ball but doesn't really create much. And then who is it? Like, Chris Middleton?
Yo, bro, at this roster. Hold on. Let's look at this roster. It's Chris Middleton, who we already know. Chris Middleton, by the way, shout out to him. I think Brad had the stat. Chris Middleton over two games had 11 turnovers versus 9 made shots.
Damn.
So shout out MVP All-Star Chris Middleton. And then you got Giannis, of course. Giannis, talented, 2-time MVP, Defensive Player of the Year.
Yep.
You've got Brook Lopez, who might be as bad as Aaron Baines. I don't think he's much better, to be honest.
He makes some shots,
but he is legitimately falling off. Dante DiVincenzo, Bryn Forbes, that's a starting lineup.
Yeah.
Pat Connaughton, DJ Augustin, Bobby Portis, Torrey Craig, and Thanasis Antetokounmpo. Bro, Drew Holiday on this team, this is like, I don't think they have six guys they can count on. Like, their best point guard is DJ Augustin.
Yeah, I know.
DJ Augustine managed to end up on the Magic again. He was wearing blue today. He's like, yo, what the hell is going on? He's having flashbacks. The Raptors are shutting down one of his star players and he has to score in the fourth quarter. DJ Augustine just like reliving the nightmares.
Oh, he's looking at Giannis like, yo, am I playing with Aaron Gordon again?
He's like, damn, I thought Jonathan Isaac at least hit 1-3. Like, what is this?
Yo, my favorite thing was Giannis had this, like, you know, crossover dribble into a step back with a foot on the line, top of the key jumper.
Yeah.
To beat the shot clock or something like that. It was a late shot clock situation you had to create. And your Bleacher Report was like, oh, man, Giannis in his bag. And I was like, that can't be your bag, man. That's not a bag. Literally, Pascal stood there and looked at him and was like, all right, if you want to, go ahead. But you're making it very easy for me at the moment. And I think right after that, I think Fred yanked Giannis, like, at the basket. Giannis drove. Fred helped. And, like, I don't understand how Fred's hands are that strong. Like,
yo, Giannis getting spooked by Fred is, like, legitimately, like, you know the stories they tell you of, like, the elephant getting scared of the mouse?
Yeah.
That is literally every single time Giannis gets guarded by Fred. I have never seen Giannis score on Fred VanVleet.
Yo, it's actually, if someone has tape of this, I would really love to see it because I don't think it's ever happened. Like, meanwhile, we have two games back-to-back where Fred sauced up Giannis one-on-one. It's unbelievable. But
Fred and Norm both just deciding to take the ball away from Chris and Giannis, both like just spinning them around, just rip throughs. That's amazing to me.
Yeah. No, it's unbelievable. Boonholzer really said that he thought this game was better than the first one.
Bruh.
They trailed the whole game.
Yo, they
were up 2-0 and then they lost the rest of the 47 minutes and 30 seconds of the game. I don't know what he's looking at, man. Honestly, it's bad. By the way, you know, we got to give credit to where credit is due as well, because I don't think it really, sometimes the slander pod really just does itself sometimes, right? When you play Thanasis and he shoots 6 times in 8 minutes, like, and he's like cheering and he's like hyped up on the bench, like, you know, like that is slander onto itself. But honestly, Aaron Baines plus 19 in 15 minutes, that might be more effective slander than anything that that we can really see.
No, Aaron Baines, he scored over, he scored over Giannis or he scored over Brook Lopez? He went through a back to back bucket for bucket at one point in the game. That was fire.
Like, he had a left handed hook against Giannis and he got the shot off. And if he had made that, the amount of violence that would have been created on the timeline, I would have turned into Baines fan club. I don't care.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. No, man, this is. It's unbelievable, bro. Like, Matt Thomas was coming in. By the way, at halftime, Matt Thomas had 5 points. Chris Middleton had 7. Like, Matt Thomas came in, and, like, the Bucks were like, I have no idea how to attack this man. Like, really? You don't have enough tools on your team to attack Matt Thomas
when he comes to the game. It's honestly concerning. Like, if I was a Bucks fan, I would be very disheartened watching how badly this team – like, they can't – I don't understand how their defense works. I honestly, like, I'm struggling to understand it because, like, you'd be watching players. Like, I get it. They're like, okay, we're going to take away the paint. Sure, they actually do a pretty good job of walling off the paint. It's not that bad. But then, like, we'll take away, like, set threes or whatever, and we'll give you above the break. But they just, like, leave – like, for most of the game, they're just leaving the mid-range wide open. And it's not even, like, other teams, like, leave the mid-range open, but they'll be, like, you shoot – you reach in for help, right? You just dig down quickly just to bother the shot a little bit. You get them, like, you know, stepping back into that mid-range jumper rather than just walking into it. Fred VanVleet just, like, casually dribbling into a mid-range jumper. Norm Powell casually dribbling into, like, floaters. Like, bro, like, any resistance would be great, but I guess that's how they want to play. OG Anunoby, like, went 0-for-6 from 3, went 4-from-6 inside. He literally just kept driving through them. It's like, how do you have nobody who can put up, like, even, like, a semblance of defense? Well,
that's the thing. If they go small, I don't think Giannis is that great defensively as a 5. I know you look at him, you're like, this guy could do anything. I don't know, man. The help instincts are not as great as you would expect in the 5 lineup. Or maybe it just wasn't for this game. But then you look at the other guys, like, there's nothing really you could do about the fact that OG Anunoby literally just took Chris Middleton, like, crunched them up like a ball of paper and then just stuffed them in a locker, like, just driving, like, twice in the fourth quarter when the Raptors, that's the only time where I was even a little bit, you know, worried, because the Bucks had switched to this switching defense. Raptors were selling for bad shots. The Bucks were making a couple. and they were closing it to like 9 points. That's the only time I was kind of worried. And then OG just took over because Chris Middleton, like literally he moved him, he moved this man out of the way, like repeatedly for layups. So Bucks are,
oh my God.
I don't even know, man.
Oh, they're a bad place, boss. They're bad place. And the best part about their record is like, I think you brought it up in the last pod, right? Or when it came up yesterday, I think on the TL, it was like their 6 wins are against, they have 6 wins against like the Cavs and the Pistons combined.
Yep.
And that they're 6-0 against the Cavs and Pistons. And what are they against the rest of the league? They're what?
10-13.
Yep. Jesus.
And they're 10-13.
They're 1-2 against the Raptors.
They're 1-2 against the Raptors. They're, I believe, 2-7 now against teams over 500. Like they're lucky they play in the East. But no, honestly, this team is really, really shaky. And obviously they didn't have Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday would have changed some things, but honestly, no Kyle Lowry for the Raptors is a bigger absence than Drew Holiday.
And even that, like, I just don't understand how Drew Holiday affects their offense. Like, their offense still is just, like, they don't have a perimeter guy who can handle the ball and, like, effectively be a threat at 3 levels or even 2 levels at that. Like, Chris Middleton off the dribble, I literally do not worry about him. Once he's taken 3 dribbles on a possession, I know it's a brick. Like, it's not even a worry. Like, what is happening? Like, you're just getting stripped by Norm Powell and Fred VanVleet every single possession. You're like 7 inches taller than Fred. What? How could you not hit a shot?
Yo, there was one possession where I think Chris Middleton was just trying to run a fast break one-on-one against Fred, and he turned it over. Like, I was just like, look, what are you doing? Honestly, this Fred has literally, he has their whole, like, he's just owns this whole entire franchise. Like, it's not even funny at this point. Like when the Bucks see Fred VanVleet and Norman Powell, like I don't even know. Like this is literally like Fred VanVleet to the Bucks is like LeBron to the Raptors. Like it's they're both wearing number 23 and they're both there. It's just
and it's funny because like, Fred didn't even have a good shooting game. Like he just like no. You know, 3 of 8 from 3, but 5 of 15. So like again, 2 of 7 inside the arc. Didn't even have that good of a shooting game. But like again, he got whatever pass he wanted to. He just made the read because the defense is so easy to read. Because once they decide to do something, they just stick to doing that. And then it's just like, okay, I know what you guys are going to do. So we'll just rip you apart. And then how many steals do you end up with on the night? You only got credited with 1 steal, which I think is kind of low. Cause I know he must've had a bear deflections that came for steals.
Yeah, of course. He leads the league in deflections. Like it's
absolutely absurd.
Yeah. Man, this is a, this honestly, it's a great feeling, you know. And the best part about obviously beating the Bucks is the fact that you get to just relive all these memories. The best part about it is like the work is already done for us. Like we don't got to create new memes, really. We could just go back and reminisce. Like all we really want to do is reminisce on 2019 and the championship. And the Bucks part of it might obviously the winning the championship is the best part. The Kawhi shot is amazing, but that Bucks series, you know, it's so satisfying. The fact that we swept this team. The 26-3 run, everything. Like, there's just so many memes. Like, when I look at Brook Lopez, I'm literally always, like, in my head when he shoots, I'm yelling, you are terrible. Like, I just, whoever that guy is, man, like, if you know him, if you know that video, if you know that man, like, please connect me to that guy. He sounds like, he's definitely sounds like he's from Mississauga or Brampton. And, yeah, he's I don't incredible. Know, man. Legendary, but, yo, dude.
It's kind of sad because like even Nikola Vucevic got his turn back against the Raptors, and the Bucks still haven't figured it out. Bro. Like, yo, like how are you still getting confounded by the same defense with different parts? Like the Raptors got worse. Like Giannis, what did Giannis say? He used to see Marcus All in his nightmares. Now Marcus All's not even here. What's the excuse, man?
Nah, he's seeing Fred VanVleet in his nightmares. Like for real. No, honestly, he deserves it for re-signing in Milwaukee. I genuinely believe that, like, imagine the small ball five with Giannis instead of, I mean, no offense to Bembry. Bembry did a really good job tonight, but instead of Bembry, for example, like, it's too bad, but it's all good, man. It's all good. Let's pick our 3 stars for this game. I'll give you who do you think was the first star for the Raptors tonight?
The first star, oh man, this is hard. I'm gonna give it to Norm.
Okay,
and I only say this because he, like, in the first half of the game, he was just annihilating the Bucks defense. Like, he straight up just took their hearts out of it. Like, after the Raptors built up that lead, the Bucks played pretty listlessly. So, I know Pascal ended up closing out the game, but like Norm before he got into foul trouble was just ripping them apart. He got whatever he wanted. He's hitting floaters. He's getting layups. He's hitting threes in their face. He's making Chris Middleton look like a chump. Like, I think there was one point in the game where him and Chris Middleton both had taken 11 shots. Norm had 29 points. Chris Middleton had, what was it, 11? Just pathetic behavior. Yep. So I give it to Norm. Norm's known buck killer. He came out full buck hunter mode. Like, I love it. My favorite thing is, like, you start the game and Milwaukee's like, yeah, we're locking down the paint. We got Giannis, Brook Lopez. And Norm just strolls into the paint with a little floater, little lefty layup. And it's like, okay, okay, this is a, it's a wrap. It's a wrap out the gate.
Yo, it has been like five straight years, maybe even six straight years, of Norman Powell just beating the Bucks every time they see him. How do you not have a strategy for this man yet? Like, I don't understand. I really don't understand. Yeah, he was awesome tonight. I mean, 29 points, 9 of 12 shooting, 4 of 7 from 3, 7 of 8 from the free throw line, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. I mean, the only reason he only played 31 minutes was because he was in foul trouble with 5 fouls. But I mean, honestly, it's been incredible to watch Norm work. And even sometimes now when Norm's out there with that like bench lineup where because there's no Kyle, so you can't necessarily always have Fred on the floor. So in the minutes that Fred sits, sometimes Pascal also sits, then it's up to Norm to carry the offense. And he's even doing a decent job of doing that, which is, I'm still curious to see if that continues because that was really shaky at the start of the season, but he was great.
I think that use of Bembry in those lineups has really helped because Bembry gives you that secondary playmaker to kind of move it. And also, like, thankfully, Nick has finally stopped playing Norm with Redacted. Davis out there, which is, you know, that's great because now you don't have a, you know, a terrible decision maker out in the court. But that's what I think has helped Norm's bench lineups the most because, like, he's not playing with terrible players anymore.
Absolutely. And Bembry, by the way, tonight, a prime Pat McCaw performance, man. Oh, yeah. 5 points, 4 assists in 37 minutes, but really, really good defensively, really good on Middleton. Move the ball, secondary ball handler. He's not going to get a star, but he's getting a shout out. Second star, I'm going to pick that one. Pascal's for me, 27 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal, 2 blocks, 9 of 18 shooting, 2 of 4 from 3, 7 of 7 from the free throw line, 38 minutes. Guarded Giannis, played center. Brooke Lopez was doing whatever, I guess, you know, Brooke Lopez stuff. But the clutch scoring, I mean, yo, the fact that he got both the Antetokounmpo brothers in the span of like 5 minutes was just such a sweet thing to see. Pascal showing no fear against Giannis, putting the fifth foul on Giannis, which of course Mike Budenholzer had to take Giannis out of the game because, you know, you just got to preserve him, man. Listen, the Bucks have to lose their sixth straight game in like 2 nights. They need Giannis fresh for that one. But Pascal's great. You know, the aggressiveness and crunch time was good. I liked the way he was used throughout the night. It felt very much like Pascal was playing naturally instead of trying to force things. And yeah, I mean, this is a matchup where Pascal usually struggles a little bit just because the size and the matchup against Giannis. But Pascal easily, I would say, was more productive tonight. Who's your third star? I feel like you're probably going to pick Fred or.
Yeah. So OG was great, especially how Cloud closed out the game. So I just want to give him a quick shout. But of course. Fred, like the biggest stat that Fred had was the 40 minutes because he played a ton. And the guy looked tired and he was on ball for a lot of it. And he was hounding people on defense. He made Chris Middleton night hell. He made Giannis basically shit himself every single time he came to dig down. Like just absolutely hilarious work from Fred VanVleet defensively, even though he ends up on 33% shooting on 5-15 from the field, 3 of 8 from 3, 4 of 4 from the free throw line, 17-5-8 assists. Just great point guard work from Fred tonight. Yeah, he had to do a little bit of hero ball, but that's what happens when you're short a guy. But Fred straight up looked all the part of a leader tonight, and I got to give him the third star.
Yeah, I totally agree. Gerald Henderson Award winner. This is going to be very tough because there were not a lot of great performances from this Bucks team. Bryn Forbes had 11 points, which is only 2 fewer than Chris Middleton. Dante DiVincenzo straight up outscored Chris Middleton. But you got to give it to Thanasis, right? Like, come on. When this guy had that one dunk and he was flexing on Pascal and he was like high-fiving Giannis, I'm like, yo, like the game's still happening, man. Go back on defense. And then I think he drew a foul or something and he was right in front of the Bucks bench and he was like going over and high-fiving coaches. So I was like, yo, you're down 15 points. What are you doing? Like, I appreciate the enthusiasm. I genuinely do. I'm not trying to be a hater. I'm just trying to be realistic. Like, bro, what are you doing? But anyway, he had one dunk and he played tonight. So that, and he was a plus six, which was the best mark on the team. So
it's something. Hey, he got three offensive rebounds in 7 minutes. So
I think that might have been all in one sequence.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Damn. I mean, no, but seriously, this is really like if Kawhi put Jeremy Castleberry in at power forward. Like, it would, I would be stressed if I saw that as a Bucks fan. I'm like,
This is the thing that's been pissing me off all season. Is like, and it's like been the Raptors have been very uneven play, which has really been pissing me off. But it's like, you look at their uneven play and then you look at the other team's roster and you look at their roster and you're like, man, they also don't have any good players. Like the Celtics, short guys, the Bucks, they're short guys. The Nets have three dudes on their team. Like all these teams have like four guys and then an empty roster behind it of just like a mismatch of garbage. And it's like, man, we should be like, if you could just focus up and play like they've played against the Bucks, where they actually show composure, show their actually make the defensive rotations, don't foul like crazy. They should be winning these Eastern Conference games easily. So hopefully it keeps going. I'm kind of excited for those Philly matchups now, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be different games for sure. But, I mean, I don't really know. I mean, they probably can't start small against Embiid. But I don't know. I mean, maybe you just try something. You do have two games. So you could try a really wacky strategy in game one and then go – more traditional in game two, or maybe you flip it. But yeah, I don't know, man. First off, they gotta take care of Minnesota, though. They really do need to get revenge, and hopefully Malachi Flynn will be a little more rested for that one. We were talking to Malachi after the game, which I don't know why he got made available to media. He played 5 minutes and was scoreless. I don't know, but he was made available to media, and we were asking him like, yo, what was your day like? And he was like, yeah, man, I played the game, which, by the way, the game for the 905 was their sixth game in 9 days. They're really cramming the schedule in the bubble because they want to get rid of it and just finish it up quickly. Obviously, it costs money for the NBA, so they don't want to do it. But the game starts at 11:30 a.m. It ends at 1:30 p.m. This is all Eastern time. After the game, he's like showering and stuff. He gets on the team bus. The Raptors 905 GM, who I'm just going to call Blake Murphy, even though I know it's Chad Sanders, it's Blake Murphy, tells him like, yo, Kyle's out, are you gonna play with the Raptors? And he's like, yeah, of course I'll go. So then he literally hops on a private jet, comes to the game. He arrives at the arena 30 minutes before tip-off, and he's in the lineup and he's actually playing. And he said after the game, he's like, yo, I didn't even get a chance to eat like a meal. Which I'll be like, yeah, when would he have eaten a meal? Like, honestly, like, this guy flew private, obviously had no attraction to anyone else.
MLSC, you gotta stock the fridge, man. Private jet's got no food on it.
this guy had like 60.
He told Malachi, they're like, yo, don't open that fridge, bro. Don't open no mini bar for you.
This guy had 16 packs of peanuts on the plane, on the private jet, which was just him and two pilots completely quarantined. And then he arrived to the game and he played. It's unbelievable, man. This guy was starving after the game. But no, seriously, salute to Malachi. He's been doing well in the 905. He had a 35-point game, then a 26-point game. He was averaging like 25 points per game at that level. Was scoring definitely very confidently and setting guys up. So hopefully his second shift is going to be better than his first shift, because his first shift was kind of shaky. And now with Kyle out, he's going to have to play occasionally, and Raptors going to need him. But honestly, things are kind of clicking in. Hopefully they got Utah back as well tonight. Didn't really play much. Had a block, but yeah, man, things are good. So, Asad, appreciate you as always. You got any accounting advice? Anything to plug? You got like 20 different shows now, so at least plug one of them, man. Come on.
Oh yeah, check out the group chat on Yahoo Sports Canada YouTube channel. It's pretty good. We're doing some fun things. We have an episode every week or so. So yeah, check that out. Other than that, accounting advice, about to be tax season soon, so make sure you get your slips in order, get that return filed so you can get your benefit payments and whatnot moving forward. And yeah, that's about it.
Damn. All right. So, yep, Raptors win. The Slander Pod is, I mean, we had to break the rule for this one. I mean, just so many people are asking. So honestly, though, it feels amazing, honestly, the fact that people look for the show that much. I know there have been other opportunities to do this, but we had made this rule. You and I both agreed that Rap has to be at least over 500, but I mean, come on, man.
Exactly. We've had a couple of like just like pump fakes where like, oh, nah.
Yeah. So, I think I messaged you at before the game, one of those. I think it was the Celtics game. It was like, yeah, yo, if the Raptors beat the Celtics. And then I don't know, man. We just can't beat the Celtics, apparently.
And then we got the full Ojale experience, man.
Oh god. Honestly, there's some Boston version of the two of us who did a Cider Pod on the Raptors. I know it. It's probably the two guys from that video where Danny LaRue and the other guy celebrate when the 15th man gets cut to save to get under the luxury tax. You know that video I'm talking about.
Oh,
hey,
man.
Duncan, sorry. No disrespect. I was literally just blanking on the name.
Yeah. Oh, so, man.
All right, good man. Times.
Hopefully we get more of these. Hopefully we can get the Sixers. You know what's going to happen if we lose to the Timberwolves? We're just never going to be allowed to do this one again.
Yeah, I know. This is the thing with the Snyder Pod is that, you know, there's a bad karma that's associated with it, which is why I want the Raptors to be over 500. But, I mean, who cares, man? Who cares? Who cares? We got to enjoy the wins, and this was a great, very enjoyable win. So appreciate Asad for coming on. And yeah, I'll be back tomorrow when the Raptors hopefully beat the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.